Welcome to the channel tribe. In this session of Instagram Live, we are having Rahul Parwal discussing on bug advocacy. Huge shout out to BrowserStack, our exclusive sponsor for all community events and premier sponsor for conferences. We thank them for supporting this event.
I would like to welcome all of you to this IG Live on bug advocacy. We will be doing this with Rahul.
Hi Rahul, how are you?
Hi Vanshika, I'm doing good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So now moving on, let's move to the topic of the day. We will be talking about bug advocacy with you. And before starting into the technical questions, I would like to know a little bit about you, how you started into software testing and how has your journey been?
Okay, so hello, I mean, and welcome to all. I mean, a lot of members are joining in at every moment. So welcome all. And I started into software testing back in year 2018 with a very active role. But I started my IT career in 2016 as a software developer. I was a .NET developer and I used to create applications for a testing project. So there was a testing project for which I used to develop certain kind of applications in .NET, some web application and so on. And later on, I got involved into automation scripting role where I was asked to create automation framework solutions and then eventually slowly overlapping with testing. And that's how I got into testing. And then I joined IFM as a software tester. And last 3 years, I mean, I've been exploring testing a lot and being active in the communities, learning from fellow testers. So, yeah, that's how my testing journey has been.
Okay, sounds quite interesting and a great journey. So now moving to the topic, and the first question I have is when we, you know, hear about bug advocacy, the first question that comes to someone's mind is like, why advocating bug is important? You know, very basic. So that's the first question I would like to ask you.
Super. So if we talk about testing, a very visible outcome of testing that everybody sees is bug reports. And testers create and file bug reports on a day-to-day basis. I mean, be it issues that come from customers, testers analyze and report, be it issues from their automation scripts or from their exploratory testing, they report. But the problem is that if you are just reporting the bugs and the bugs are sitting in the database but are not getting cleared or not getting their due justice or due attention, then a lot of time that you have spent in adding that value is actually not getting translated. So just like an advocate or a good advocate is needed to put honest light on the case in front of everybody, that's on a similar lines, you need a bug advocate or you need to do bug advocacy to bring the bug into its honest light. And because testing is a very human process, it's a social process. People come with their own biases, people come with their own mindset. So it gets very challenging to penetrate through that just by written documents. And ideally, the report should talk for themselves, but then you have to make the reports in such a way that they also give certain advocacy. And people would want to put their time and effort on that. And basically, yeah, both time and effort translates to money. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you want somebody to spend something, I mean, you have to advocate, you have to really make that sales pitch.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also true because there are so many bugs being logged, you know, then you need to tell that this is important and this will help in making the application more productive, and that's why, you know, you need to advocate your bugs properly. So that makes sense a lot. So connecting to this question, like, what are the key steps involved in, you know, advocating your bug?
Okay, so first thing is, I mean, when you encounter a bug or when you encounter an issue, so first thing that we always do is that we check that is this a reproducible issue? Is our issue really consistent? I mean, is it actually a problem, or I mean, we are missing some link? And then we try to distinguish it. I mean, take that minimum flavor out of it. I mean, which is creating that problem. Checking that is it a generic problem? It's a very specific problem. So basically, that is all the analysis and investigation part. So you investigate the issue, and then you generalize it. That or you try to generalize it. That is it a problem for other configurations also or not? And then you look into personas. You look into the risks or the risk factor, the impact that it can create. Would it create a problem that some customer might report an issue to us, or would it be a problem that a customer might even leave because of this kind of issue? Or can we retain customers better, or can we onboard new customers if we don't have such issues? So thinking on all those lines, documenting that, putting that information in front of people. So yeah, that's kind of the starting steps. But essentially, from bug to bug, it depends. Sometimes some cases are open, shut in, close. I mean, there is a crash, you take a screenshot, and that automatically speaks for itself. I mean, you don't have to do too much. And sometimes the cases are nuanced.
Yeah. So from understanding about this, I think advocating a bug requires a lot of research, obviously, you know, observing the application, a lot of research, and also selling your bug. So like that comes to that brings me to my next question. That is selling an important skill for testers? If you think so, why or why not?
Selling or sales is one of the most important skill for any engineer. And it took me a very long time to understand this thing. I mean, I was a person who used to think that sales is maybe something that is bad, or sales is not good, or sales is just marketing, but that's not the truth. I mean, selling is important because first thing, I mean, the products that we are creating or we are testing as a team, that is there to be sold. I mean, and there are different ways to earn revenue. I mean, whenever you are working for any application, I mean, you are essentially working to increase the revenue, or you are actually working to create something that will make users switch from something to you. And you need to know that sales skill, that what kind of issues can actually hamper my sales. And that's the extrinsic thinking point of view that, I mean, when advocating for bugs, you think on those lines, but also internally, because when you are raising a bug, you are actually selling an item to somebody to put their time and effort on that. So essentially, I mean, somebody is going to take your case, right? They will take your issue, they will consider it, and they will put their time, effort, energy on that. So that's very important art. And I mean, testers often are rushed through. Testers often are in a situation where they feel time boxed, challenged, because I mean, somehow the negotiation or the selling is not going through. I mean that skill can really help with that effective negotiation also.
Yeah, that's true. I think if you are able to sell properly that this is important, then I think it makes sense for the other person also to, you know, first on priority work on the thing that you are telling about. So that makes sense. And I think, yeah, selling and you know, selling is something that we use in our daily lives also, because when we are going into an interview, we are essentially selling ourselves.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very important for everyone, not only engineers, but that is one skill that all of us should possess.
Yes.
So the next question I have is, have you ever experienced that sometimes even like popular bug tracking systems, they might badly affect the tester's ability to advocate rightly? You know, how they are logging it in, probably that does not have much parameters on how they can advocate their bugs. So if so, in what different ways?
Okay, so see, there are two things. I mean, first is the advocacy, and second is the bug tracking. So, or the bug tracking, bug management, test management, creating board views. If we see, I mean, the advocacy part is actually independent of the bug tracking system.
Got it.
Because that involves investigation, and bug tracking system is very important too, because you have to find what all bugs were already reported. So you need to have a good search mechanism. You might want to add certain fields for your case, maybe what is the fixed version, or who is affected by this, or ABCD, I mean, based on your context, what kind of hardware, OS, and so on and so forth. So most popular bug tracking systems, I mean, they typically support getting their custom fields added on bug reports. Or for example, if a developer closes an issue, then they have to select a resolution. So such kind of customizations can be done. I've used Jira a lot, which gives all those things. So that's the only tool that I've used. I've also used Polarian, which also supported that. But Polarian had a little hard UX. I mean, the UX was not very friendly. So that was a little challenging, because if you have systems like Jira, I mean, where you can directly paste images and videos and GIFs, and somebody can just click and see, I mean, these are really good. So that's good. I've tried Bugasura. I've tried Bird Eats Bugs. So these two are more on the lines of dedicated bug tracking tools, or tools for bug management. I mean, they're dedicated, I mean, created for testers. So they are more tuned for that and more effective. So, yeah.
Got it. Understood. Okay. So the next question I have is, like, when a bug reporter is not available, then typically who owns the advocacy on the behalf of the reporter? Like, and what skills that, you know, the person who is owning it on the behalf of the person who is gone, like, what skills they should possess?
Okay, so the typical case, I mean, that you're saying, that if somebody has an issue, but we don't have the reporter, but let's assume we got the issue. So I'm assuming that there can be multiple cases. First, we got an issue from some other team through an email. Yeah. Second, we got an issue through the sales or marketing team from a customer. So customer approached somebody from sales marketing, and we got an issue from the sales marketing that there is this issue. Or maybe we got to know about this issue through some kind of our logs from the observability and tracking monitoring that we are doing. We have certain logs of crash. So essentially, I mean, in different contexts and different organizations, there are different levels of support, or sometimes, I mean, it comes directly to the team. I have been in a context where I was directly approached by somebody from sales or marketing team to look into that bug. So the first thing is that we do is that we investigate that. We immediately make a note of what all things we want more. I mean, because typically, I mean, the customer is not a very good reporter of your issue. Mm-hmm. The customer will not pinpoint each and every aspect. So we make a list of questions that can help us exactly deep dive into that issue. And then we look into that. We try to create a test system where we mock that scenario. If that exists, we raise that, and then we revert back to the team that we'll be addressing it here. So, I mean, as a tester, yes, I mean, I have done it. Sometimes there are workflows where, I mean, first time the issues go to the P0 support team or developers. So, I mean, there is no one answer to this. I mean, who does this? Because project management also plays a major part, I mean, that how these things are handled.
Got it, understood. So it differs from situation to situation.
Yes.
Got it. So the other question I have for you is, and before moving to other question, I would request for all the people joining us, if you have any questions related to what we are talking, or any other questions to ask to Rahul, do note it down in the comments, and I will be asking them to him. Yeah. So moving to the other question, other than documenting a very influential bug report in the given that is given, you know, and well configured bug tracking system, what are other different methods to advocate a bug?
So other different methods. So first thing is, I mean, one thing that differentiates amateur testers from professional is that amateur testers process and work on the information that they have.
Okay.
Professional testers explicitly go out and seek information. So professional testers sometimes are, I mean, if you want to take an example, they are like Sherlock Holmes. They will go out, they will search for information, they will search for every clue, pattern, they will research competitor, they will research about some guidelines that should be adhered to, they will research about who all our customers are, what are their personas, they will also research about the sales team, marketing team, what kind of feedback that they are getting, what is the expectation, maybe they will also be in a user interview call where they talk to the user. So, I mean, this explicit investigation, or I mean, this being like a Sherlock Holmes, or being like a detective, that this skill, second skill that is very helpful is persuasion. Persuasion is a skill. It's a skill that some people have, some people actively develop. And typically, in a context, and this is something that I learned from James Bach, that I mean, once you start doing credible work, and I mean, it typically takes 1 year to 1.5 years to build a credibility in any organization that you are, because your previous work adds to your credibility and persuasion score. But once you have that, the things that you say, I mean, your voice essentially starts mattering. And as a good advocate, what a good advocate typically does is also in critical cases, they go and talk to people of influence and seek their opinions on things.
Yeah.
And now this is again an explicit discussions, I mean, outside the scope of the requirement and the product. So these are some of the very, very important and influential skills. And I mean, pairing is another important skill. I mean, that if you're pairing with your developers, I mean, sometimes you can find a good common ground and you can advocate for issues, but then it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's not true. We have one question from Apurva. They're asking, please share some tips on how to effectively advocate for intermittent bugs.
Okay, so intermittent bugs or non-reproducible bugs, I mean, you cannot just reproduce them again and again. One of the biggest pain points that testers face is this. And I have found certain things that are very, very useful in these kind of situations, and that I practice too. First, when you find an intermittent issue, I mean, raise the issue, mark it explicitly as intermittent or not reproducible, so that the person who it is assigned to knows that this is something in investigation, this needs more investigation. Second thing that I do is I explicitly mention more test observations, that for example, I run this test cycle 5 times, I found this 3 times, and this is what I suspect. Then I also add test notes, that what I want to do in the coming test cycles, and I'll put more details. And sometimes, a couple of times, what has happened is that the developer has come to me and they said, yeah, we have seen this issue in our unit tests also, and maybe this is the exact point why this happens. Second thing is that look into the bug tracking system. If a similar kind of issue was there, so what I do is I create a label, inconsistent, and I search for that label and all bugs, and sometimes you will find a history of the bugs. So similar bug was there 6 months back and all. So this is another way. Third way is you have to report the exact error code message or whatever log traces that you can get out. I mean, the testability part, the things, the underlying information, try to find that out and put that to the surface. Sometimes the pop-up messages that you are getting might not show the true state. So look down. And just one last point that I want to tell is that every bug can be reproducible if you don't know the trigger point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of finding that right trigger point. And sometimes the trigger point is straightforward. Sometimes the trigger point might also be affected by some other program. That when I run So there was one very, very interesting case that I want to tell you, that there was a case where we used to find a bug when the CPU load was high. And CPU load used to went high when we used to turn on the camera on the CPU. And I mean, we couldn't figure out, I mean, what's going on. I mean, why this bug comes at some places, why it's coming in the evening hours and so on. And eventually we found out that it's an issue of memory and problems related to that. So sometimes, I mean, you just have to look for that trigger points.
Yeah, understood. I hope that answers your question, Apurva. We have another question from Arvind. He's asking, how much deep level of investigation should a tester spend before logging it, considering the timeline crunch that the testers usually face?
Very good question, Arvind. And it's always a trade-off. I mean, it's always a trade-off of between two things. First, finding more bugs or doing more testing versus researching on the same issue. And till how much time I should do, because if I do too much investigation, I miss on some 5 to 10 tests that I would have probably done, and it's a trade-off, right? So, I mean, impact analysis. I mean, right, impact analysis. If you do, you know that what could be a suspected problem. I mean, if it is just a basic UI issue or a minor glitch, it's not a blocker. You know that maybe I can just raise it as a minor and put my observation and move forward. Yeah. If you suspect, and sometimes, I mean, based on application to application, based on testers' experience, testers usually know what is problematic. I mean, there is an intuition that testers have. And if your intuition is there for an issue, I mean, do research it out. At least try to change configurations, at least try to do some follow-up work and raise the issue. And I mean, you can always put test notes that what I want to do after some time. So I mean, it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act, and I mean, you cannot master it. I mean, you always have to make some well-calculated judgments that you do and do it.
Understood. I hope that answers your question, Arvind. I have another question from my list. So the question is, what is the importance of testability and observability in identifying, recording, and advocating a bug?
Super. So I really like talking about testability, because it's one of the most ignored and not discussed topic. A lot of people think testability as just advocating for automation IDs or XPaths and so on and so forth. But it's way more. I mean, testability in one word is a golden wand. It's a golden wand for testers, and it makes testing good. It makes testing easy. And most people don't realize it. I mean, when seen from outside, I mean, this is not something which very apparently looks to the stakeholders, that why this person is doing something amazing. But testability or the essential ability for you to test well, and how easily things are there, which makes your testing easy, is a powerful skill. I mean, because for an investigation, if you want to investigate something, and let's assume you have to investigate a case, not a bug report. So let's go to a different example. If you have car, that's a good tool for you to go at anywhere. If you have a surveillance device through which you can surveillance and track mobile numbers, that's a helpful system that you have. If you have a catalog of different kind of crimes that have already happened, that's helpful. If you have a time of somebody whom you can investigate and ask questions, that's helpful. And for example, if you have ways to find records or previous documents, previous law related documents, that's helpful. So similarly, in software context, I mean, if you have access to database, you can create your own test data very quickly. If you have, and I'm talking just about the read only accesses, I mean, if you have access to the code that developers are creating, I mean, and you can just see that, so that gives you idea on what all unit tests they have done, what all kind of things you should think of. If you have accesses to tools that make your testing very easy, or that enable you to quickly find out data or quickly trigger request or quickly chain request. For example, Postman. And when I first used Postman, I found it very helpful because, I mean, you can chain request and all. So, I mean, that essentially boosted my ability to test, right? And similarly, I mean, in your context, I mean, in any context, testability helps a lot. Observability also helps a lot because through observability, you can observe what's going on and monitoring and so on. So, I mean, I'm still a student of observability. So I'm still learning about that. I've been reading testability a lot, project testability, epistemic testability and product testability and so on. So testability is powerful. And I mean, if somebody is interested in serious testing, I mean, they should read about it and also discuss about it with their teams.
Got it. Understood. One last question that I have for you today is, what are the key communication skills, other than obviously bug report writing, that a bug report writer must possess so that advocacy is easy and, you know, and it results into fixing the bug on time?
So I think we already covered that in parts, but to summarize, I mean, just three things: good investigation skills. Second is, I mean, good testing skills in general, which means, I mean, knowing how different strategies, trying to apply different strategies and checking for boundaries, different configurations and so on. That's very helpful. And third is ability to use tools. I mean, so tools can really assist. I mean, and I have found certain tools that even speed up my bug report writing. And I mean, I typically use tools for grammar issues. I typically use tools for rephrasing my sentences, making them more crisp, getting that right value translated. So I mean, using such tools.
Got it, understood. I would now request the chat to just drop your questions down because we will be ending this live soon. So if you have any questions about anything that we covered today, do drop it in the chat and Rahul will be answering those.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone who is listening to this right now live or in the recorded form. I hope you found some value in the discussion that Vanshika and I did.
Any questions? We have one question from Akash, not related to the topic, but related to general testing, and it was, how can we move from manual testing to automation testing? What are initial skills required?
So essentially the question is that how to learn automation how to learn automation to aid them in testing. That's how I see this. So first thing, I mean, learn basics of any programming language. If you want to learn into scripting and I mean, automation related to that. Second is think beyond, I mean, just the automation of your scripts, but essentially look for tools that can automate different aspects of your testing. One example that I was giving was that I use tools to fill the templates of my bug reports. And I do this through a small extension called Magical. So it's a browser extension that automates a part of my report writing. So look for tools that can help you solve problem and focus on problems. Second is a good learning source that I found is Test Automation University. And third is, I mean, find a learning partner, learning buddy, mentor, guide. And be consistent. Consistency is the most important thing, I think, which most people lack. So there are a lot of resources, a lot of things. Be consistent.
That's true. We have another question from Soumya. She's asking, did you face any challenges while dealing with repeated bugs?
So, I mean, for example, there is a bug that we have already reported and it's open, maybe about to be fixed in the next release. And then we got a similar issue from the marketing team that the customer is also reporting the same issue. So
yeah.
It's now a boon for us because that makes our case more strong that look, somebody is facing that problem. So we link that customer complaint query to that already existing bug, and that makes it easy. So that's actually a positive for advocating for issues.
Got it. I think we don't have any other questions. So thank you, Rahul, for joining us. That was a great conversation, very insightful. And I can see in the comments also the people liked it. They found it really insightful and very knowledgeful. So thank you so much for doing this. And hope to see you soon in some other session, probably elaborating on some other topic. And thank you for joining on a Sunday, especially. And thanks everyone who has joined us for this half an hour to join on a weekend, especially a Sunday. I know tomorrow is Monday and we are all dreading it, but thank you for taking that half an hour. So we'll meet you soon in another IG Live with another guest and some other topic. So till then, take care. Bye, and good luck for your days. Bye. Bye, Rahul.
Bye.